We're going to open up there to Titus chapter 3. That's going to be our introductory text this morning. We're going to stay in the book of Titus the whole time. For those of you who are visiting with us, we appreciate you being here. Some of you have come from a long way. Some of you may be from the community, and we appreciate you being here. If there's anything that we can do for you, if you've got any questions for us, please ask. And we will be happy to do the best we can. This morning, I want to ask you a question as we begin and we think about it. Have you ever said to someone, maybe it was your child, or maybe you're a teacher, or maybe you're a coach, but there's someone that's around you and they've done something they shouldn't do, and you say, "We don't do that." And the emphasis is on, "We don't do that," right? And so we might talk about that in our family. We might talk about that as our race. We might talk about that as Americans. We might talk about that in many different ways. But the Bible talks about that as Christians. And in Titus chapter 3, as Paul concludes the letter, he says to Titus, "And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful." The truth is that Christians are a people. And when Paul writes to Titus, there is something we want to see by introductory, is that the people who are in Crete, where he is currently at, they need to learn something. Kenny just read from us chapter 1, verses 10 through 16. And what we see is we find an interesting thing that is happening in Crete, in the island there of Crete. We have some Jewish people who are upsetting the faith of whole households. All these people are leaving the family of God and following after, as he calls them, these empty talkers, these deceivers who are going out and they're upsetting the faith of some. So you've got a group there who is not helping. They're hurting. And then you've got that famous statement. Look there in Titus 1, maybe on your same page. Look there in verse 12 where he quotes one of the Cretan writers. And they say, "One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, says, 'Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons.'" He flat out calls out his own people and says, "We are lazy. We are liars. We're always these evil beasts." And that's the kind of people that are making up the church in Crete. And Titus has been sent there, if you go back to verse 5, to set in order the things that lacked. There were things that were needing to be taught, things that the Cretans and the church in Crete needed to learn. The book of Titus is much about what they needed to learn. But also an emphasis in the book of Titus is, how were they to learn? How was it that these Jewish evil speakers that were going about upsetting the faith, and these Cretans who were evil, lazy gluttons, how were they going to learn? Well, notice there in chapter 1 and verse 13 that he is to rebuke them sharply, and that would be especially those deceivers. Rebuke them sharply. Why? So that they may be sound, healthy in the faith. There is the way, if it's handled properly, that the people who are rebuked, if they have sincere hearts, they will become sound in the faith of which we are our people. And you would see in chapter 2 and verse 1 that, "But as for you, Titus, teach what accords." So you don't always have to come down with the hammer, but you need to teach. But notice the last verse in chapter 2 and verse 15. "Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you." The things that they needed to learn were important things. They were things that Titus could rebuke with all authority from Jesus Christ, because that is how his people live. And don't let anyone just throw it off like, "Oh, Titus is out of his mind. Titus is crazy. He's just something. No. Don't let them disregard you. But there's another way that people learn. We hear things and we're told what to do, but like someone can tell me what to do all day long, but I need to see it for me personally before it's easy for me to do. And that's one of the things that Paul tells Titus. And you would see this in chapter 2 if you're still there. Look there in Titus chapter 2. Go down to verse 6. In Titus chapter 2, and maybe I should say this by way of what goes on in chapter 2, Titus is told, teach the older men this. And the older women, teach this. And the older women are to do this. Now he says about the younger men to Titus. He says, likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. And here it is, verse 7. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. You see what Titus was going to be? If he's up there saying all of this stuff, he better be showing it. He better be a model by which they can look to him and say, this is how it's done. He says, so don't give them any opportunity to disdain or rebuke us. We're God's people. Don't get in the way. The older women, you would see this, that they were to teach the younger women. And the same word that's model here, that's what the elders are said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3, that the elders be examples among the flock. And one of the first things out of Paul's mouth when he writes to Titus in Titus chapter 1 is the qualification for elders. So whether you ever stand in this pulpit or whether you ever teach a class downstairs, well, one of the things that we see in Titus is that if you are going to teach, you better conduct your life in a way in which you are a model of good works. So not only did they need to learn, they were going to have to be shown how and taught how, but what was it that they needed to be? What was it that they needed to learn? And we can look at a lot of different specifics in this letter, but I want you to see about what kind of people they were to be. Remember how we saw that in chapter 3, verse 4? Let our people learn to maintain good works. I want you to see how many times this type of thing is brought up. And here we have a progression. We have three little small steps, and then the lesson will be yours. About our people. Go to chapter 2 here, Titus chapter 2. We see in verse 14 that Jesus Christ gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession. And how are they described? Who are zealous for good works. The people that belong to Jesus, they are zealous for doing good. Now, what's it mean to be zealous about something? Usually your heart is into it. You really want to do it. You put yourself into it and you want to do good. And you say, well, why would you want to do good? You look at the world around you and you look at all, say you're a Cretan for a second. And you look at all the other Cretans and they're evil and they're lazy and they're gluttons. Why do I want to stand out from the evil, lazy gluttons? Go back up to verse 11. It's because you've learned by God. You've been trained by God's grace to do this. Look at verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Training us, and again, it's something you had to learn. You had to be trained to do it. Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in the present age. The truth is, you didn't know any better until God's grace came in the form of Jesus and you learned the right way. And so because you see what Jesus did,
and what Jesus taught, and you see how He gave His life, you too are zealous to denounce ungodliness, unrighteousness, and walk in an upright way. So many religious people in the world, what their philosophy is, what their theology is because of God's grace, because God saved me through Jesus, I don't need to do anything. That's not why Jesus bought us back, is it? That is not why we are the people of God, verse 14, is it? We are His people. And what do His people do? They want to do good. They're zealous for good works. But it's not all about intentions, is it? As the old saying goes, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Go to chapter 3 in verse 1 and let's see our next thing. Remind them, again Titus, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be, and here's our second thing, ready for every good work. To speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy toward all people. And we could go on and we could read the rest because that's the way we used to be. Are you ready for every good work? Do you want to? That was our first step, is I've got to want to do that. That's what God's people do. They want to do good. But the second thing is they must be ready. Like the Boy Scouts, you must be prepared. And if you're not going through some types of training and you're not going through practice, you show up to the game and guess what? You're unprepared. You don't do it. Because you didn't put any work into it beforehand. How many times have we been in that situation? We wanted to do good, right? We wanted to do the right thing, or maybe we wanted to help somebody. And then the opportunity presents itself, it's like, oh, I don't know what to do now. I don't know how to. You weren't ready. You hadn't trained yourself. You hadn't learned this. But notice some of the things that he's specific about that are good. Some of these things that they needed to learn, because these are good works. Look back in verse 1, to be submissive to rulers and authorities. That's the way God's people are. They submit to authority. They submit to the Lord's authority. They submit to their mother and father's authority. They submit to the governing authorities. They submit. And if you aren't doing that, you're not doing good works. You're doing ungodliness. But look at verse 2. To speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all, or be humble towards all, maybe a better way of saying that. When you treat people a certain way, they may get the idea that your nose is up in the air. They might say of Titus, man, Titus comes in here and he's just trying to tell us what to do. And Titus is just trying to bark us around. He's nothing but Paul's little that dog that goes and does the bidding for you. I totally drew a blank on what that's called. But nevertheless, you got somebody else going to do the work for you. Titus has just been sent for that. Well, yeah, Titus isn't submitting to authority. And Titus isn't being humble towards all. And Titus is getting in fights with people over things that don't matter. And Titus is, yeah, he's just one of them. But if he comes in and he is different, and he says different things, and he is ready and doing the good works, you would see that this would put him and those who would do that in contrast to those in chapter 1 in the very last verse who are unfit, or as Kenny's translation said, disqualified from every good work. It is impossible for them to do it. Because their conscience, because of their heart, because they don't want to do it. And they aren't doing it. God's people need to be ready to do good. Don't just want to do it. You've got to prepare yourself to do it. And thirdly, here in chapter 3 as well, look down in verse 6. whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
What's it mean when you're an heir?
You're someone's child, right? You're someone who is in their family, or they consider you a part of their family. You get their inheritance, right? That's what Christ has given us, that we are His heirs. Now notice verse 8. The saying is trustworthy. I want you to insist on these things, and we might insert the word Titus, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for all people, or for people. The third thing that we need to see is that you must be careful to maintain good works. Some of our translations may vary on that, with maintain. The idea would be to lead in, to set over. It's your course. It's what you're doing. And so some translations, verse 14, would say devote. It's the same idea. You're constantly doing good. You're not just ready to do good. You are doing good. But there is the word before that, right? You're careful to do good. What's it mean when you're careful? Take it very simply from what the word is. You're full of care. Meaning you are full of thought. You have thought about it. You care about it. And so when we're careful, we're watching for opportunities, aren't we? We're looking for ways in which to do good. And haven't you said this before when someone has done something nice for you, good for you? And maybe you didn't expect it. And you said, oh, that was thoughtful. It's because they have put their thoughts into it. Not only do you have to want to do good as God's people, not only do you need to be ready to do it, you need to be careful and thoughtful and making sure that you are doing it. Because that's our people. That's the way it is. It's as he says there, it is excellent. Or some of your translations may say it's beautiful. It's what is gorgeous. It's the way it ought to be. And it is also profitable. Not only does it look good, it has benefit. It has reward. It is profitable for the individual who does it, who does the good, and for the individual who receives the good done to them, isn't it? And that's how we close. That's exactly what the verse that we brought up at the beginning, the verse 14 says. I'll draw your attention back to it. Let our people learn to devote themselves to good works. So as, and here's an example of when to do that, so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. When something is urgent, it's not something you just sit back and go, I'll take care of that later, right? When something is urgent, you've got to take care of it right away. And it's almost like it came up on you, didn't even see it coming. And if you're a person who doesn't want to do good, and something comes on you and you don't want to do it, what are you going to do? I ain't going to do that. Or if you're a person who wants to do good, but it comes on you unexpectedly and you haven't prepared yourself for that, what are you going to do? Probably not going to do it. And what do you do if maybe you wanted to do it and you prepared yourself to do it, but you're not in the constant habit of doing it? And so when that urgent need comes up and that urgent case comes up, it might be a little more reluctant to go out there and do it. But what God's people, our people, need to learn is to be zealous for their work, to want to do them as we say we're zealous, to be careful that we are doing them, and all those types of things. So this week, I want to challenge you.
urgent need is out there that you can meet for someone. There's a proverb. We just went through this in our class downstairs, the young adult class. Someone comes to you, and they have a need. And you just turn there. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. I said we were only going to stay inside, but since I can't quote it off the top of my head, we've got to turn, we've got to look at it. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. It's in their right. When it is in your power to do it. If you can do good, you do it. So verse 28 says, do not say to your neighbor, go and come again, tomorrow I will get it. When you have it. That's the kind of people that are God's people. They do it immediately. Because they want to do it, they're prepared to do it, and we might say they thought about it, and that's what they do. They do it. So what Jesus recognized is one of his people. If I was a part of that church of Crete, would I be one of those empty talkers whose mouths need to be shut? Would I be one of those evil, lazy gluttons who need to be self-controlled and submit? Or would I be one of those people who's doing good work? Let's be good. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning, you want to become a Christian, you want to be baptized in Jesus, so that your sins may be washed away, or you need the prayer.